Open up our Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I have a word of prayer before we begin. Our Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful that we serve a mighty God. We serve a risen Savior, dear Heavenly Father. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we believe that with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Heavenly Father, as Brother Danny made some comments, dear Lord, as the world goes through, not any care or concern with the things of Christ. And Heavenly Father, we're thankful that one day you brought this plan of salvation to our hearts. And dear Lord, we're thankful that we accepted it, dear Heavenly Father. And Lord, we appreciate the opportunity to live this way. And dear Lord, you walk with us day to day, dear Heavenly Father, and we appreciate that. Dear Lord, we ask you to be with each and every soul that's here this morning. We ask you to bless the message to their hearts and their minds, encourage them. Dear Heavenly Father, again, as Brother Danny mentioned, we have an enemy, a great enemy, and he has one job. And that's not just to necessarily trip us up, but to destroy us. He wants to destroy us. He wants our soul in hell. That is his purpose. And dear Heavenly Father, from time to time, we need to even bring messages at that point and be aware of ourselves, dear Lord, that that's what his tactic is. Dear Heavenly Father, sometimes he comes subtle. Sometimes the Bible even says, Jesus says he comes as an angel of light. Dear Heavenly Father, to try to deceive us and trick us and disappoint us and discourage us and what all kind of things. But Lord, we have to remember that he has one purpose, to destroy our soul in hell. And Heavenly Father, until we close our eyes in death and we make heaven our home, dear Heavenly Father, he will continue to do that until those days come to pass. So Lord, we ask you to help us, help each and every one of us. We're living in, as the Bible says, perilous and very dangerous times, dear Lord. So dear Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us to stay close to you, to stay near to you, dear Heavenly Father, that you'll keep our souls protected, and we'll thank you for that. We ask you to bless us through the service this morning. Anoint the word, anoint me that I bring as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Trust that the Lord blesses your heart with this message as much as he blessed me. We're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and what we're going to read, very familiar to us, but I'm going to look at it a little bit different angle. And we're going to start in verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world which are and the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and all things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto the wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. My title that I put on the message this morning, I want to give to you and let you think about it as we go through the thoughts this morning. My title is The Simplicity of the Power of God. And as I read these verses, and like I say, I'm going to go a little bit different angle, and the Lord just really blessed my soul tremendously with the thoughts that I'm going to bring to you this morning. But the simplicity of the power of God. I know that when we read these verses, most of the time Jesus is dealing with the Greeks and the people that think they're wise in their own ways. And that's what Jesus, these verses tie in to somewhere all the way back to probably 20 or 21 somewhere, and talks about the Jews and the Greeks. And then God tells them, and goes into verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. So he's dealing with people that have an idea, that think they're wise. And there's a lot of people in the world, they believe they're very wise. They believe that they're very educated, and they are. Many of them are. There are many people that are very educated, very smart and things like that. But the problem is,
They leave God out of everything in life. And that's sort of what Jesus is referring to through these scriptures. But as we're going to look at these, in verse 29, we're going to take a thought out of here. And Jesus says, God says here that these things, I'll choose the foolish things to confound the things of the world. But in verse 29, he says, I'm going to do these things for the purpose, for a particular purpose, that no flesh should glory in his presence. You know, sometimes when we accomplish things in life and we do well and things turn out, we want to put the glory for ourselves. Look at what I did. Pat ourselves on the back. Look at what I have accomplished. I went to college and I got this degree. Or I went to school and I got this degree. Or I did this accomplishment in life. And I've always used that verse of scripture over with the man that built the barns and everything. Look what I've done. But God says here in verse 29, he says, that no flesh should glory of the accomplishments or whatever you've made in the world or made accomplishments in the world. And so he says there that we should not glory. So the question sometimes when I think, do you believe or are you wise in your own eyes? And you know, as people, we like to sometimes think that way. I know we none of us like to think that we're not educated or we're dumb or things like that. But we like to look at our accomplishments, whatever they may be, small or great, and we like to recognize them for ourselves. And God wants us to recognize, we need to recognize Jesus Christ. That any benefit that we've had, any blessings, any accomplishments that we had, it is because of Christ. Are we wise in our own eyes? And the thought of this, that follow-up thought with that there, do you recognize that without God, you are nothing across the world? And I know sometimes I struggle in preaching some things because I know most of you here and most of you here don't have a problem with these verses that I'm speaking of. But you know, the world out there is just that way. And the question I said, do you recognize that without God, you are nothing? You know, the world, the majority of the world doesn't recognize that at all. They don't give God credit. They don't give God acknowledgement. They don't give God the due reward that he has. They don't give God the respect that he gave him the power to get up in the morning, the power to breathe, the power to think, the power to see, the power to speak. God gives everything to us. And without God, we're nothing. Without God, we don't have the ability to do anything. Do we recognize without God, we're nothing? Do you sometimes, and as saints, sometimes we don't do this, but do we recognize that we are always standing in the very presence of God? Every time. You know, sometimes our mind, and maybe it's the enemy playing a trick or trying to deceive us or whatever, sometimes, and I'll say this for myself, sometimes in our particular mind, we think God is like God way over there. I think as David said, God is a very present help in every time of trouble. But sometimes we think God is over there. He's got stuff to do, you know. I'm at my home. I got stuff to do. You're at your home. You got stuff to do. Everybody is at their place, has stuff to do. That's how we relate to life. And that's how we sometimes consider God. But God's way over there. He's doing something. I know I can call upon him and he would answer me. But that's not how God is. God is very present every single day. He is with us every single second of the day right here. Whether I'm at home, whether I'm here in church, whether I'm somewhere in the middle of the woods all by myself, God is right there. We talked about Wednesday evening service. We talked about after the resurrection, and we talked about as Jesus ascended back up into heaven, and that Jesus sat on the right-hand side of the Father, and we talked about that he told his disciples that while he was there, he goes, it's needful for me to go back to my Father. Because if I don't go back to my Father, we cannot send you the Comforter. My Father wants to send you a Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. And I thank God that that Comforter is with us every single second of the day. And we need to recognize that. We need to recognize that, and I say that to try to, Lord, help me to get my thought across. I say that with that lets us know, Lord, I need that Comforter. I don't need to, I can stand on my own. I can take care of things on my own. I can do things on my own. I can accomplish. No, I need the help of the Holy Spirit, not only in spiritual things, but in living in life. I need that help. He goes on to say that, and as people, I believe as individuals, as human beings, we do our very best to figure issues out in life. And I know God's not upset with that, and that God wants us to not to just be dependent on everything. You know, we need to be able to figure some things out. But when it comes to even spiritual things and maybe physical needs and all, and we may pray, we ask God, Lord, I need help in this situation, whatever it is, whether it's physical, whether it's financial, whether it's need, whatever. Lord, we pray. And we pray that we have need in these situations. And we even may present our situation to the church. We may come to church and we may say, saints, whatever this situation is, or a need in my body, or whatever, Lord, I'm presenting it to the church because I desire your prayers. And that's good. And we should. We shouldn't. You know, a lot of times the enemy tries to do that. He tries to, well, you can figure it out yourself. You know, God wants us to pray for one another. As I just even mentioned this morning, you know, I don't talk to Brother Daniel too often through text. We text sometimes, and he texts me, and he felt in a need and a burden to ask him to pray for his family, for his mother, or his wife's grandmother. And you know, that's good. And we have Sister Esther in Hagerstown, and many people all across the world will send her a text. You know, we have a need, whatever it is, and she sends that out to all over people, that we may pray for them people. And that's good. We need to pray. But sometimes it seems like right after we do that, right after we tell the saints, I have this need to pray, then we take it and try to take care of the things of ourselves. We pray, Lord, I have need. We present it to the church, but then just in human form, we pick it up and say, well, I need to take care of things. I need to figure things out. It's just a normal way we are sometimes, how we are. And we start making plans. And we start making plans really without trusting God. You know, I've told you this some time back when the company, my company that I work for, has been sold and bought by another man. And, you know, he told me later on, when I first met the man, he came into the shop, introduced himself to me. I'd never met him ever before. And the first words out of his mouth was, he says, I'm not opposed to having a rebuilder, is what my job was. Which I had already known that he's never had a rebuilder in 20 years. So, and then even later on, he told me, he says, there was three things I was assured of coming into this shop. And he didn't tell me this at first. He told me this later after one. He says, and one of those things, he says, I had no desire to keep you. I was going to let you go. But he was going to just string me on for a little bit till things got going, then he was going to let me go. But I thank the Lord things worked out, and things have been a great blessing. But in that time before there, and I've told you this sometimes, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what, you know, I didn't, the transmission industry is sort of going along the wayside. Everything's going to remanufacturers and all as far as my job. So I started looking at other avenues. And I told you this, we have a gentleman that comes in here and takes care of the fire extinguishers. And I got to talking to him about it. You know, just sitting out some feelers to see what's out there and things, and what kind of what he did and what his job did and what all that was and things like that, and talk to him a little bit about it, and maybe just entertaining the opportunity or whatever. And when he left, I felt truly the Lord come to me, and he says, stop doing that. I'll take care of things. Don't start looking for other jobs. And even though that was an assurance, that still was worrisome. And then God worked things out tremendously compared to what it was. Financially was a great difference, and just the relaxation of the company was totally different and very comfortable. Just God worked things out beautiful for it. And here, I worried about that all the time. But many times, that's what we do. Saints pray, I pray, we consider, and then we start trying to take care of things, and God just takes care of things for us. Praise God. God just works out things for us.
Do you really believe and know that God knows every single thing about you? There's not one thing that God doesn't know about you. The most secret things in your life, God knows the very, and the Bible says He knows the very thought and intent of the heart. I don't even know how to answer that question. He knows where our mind is. He knows what we think on, what we dwell on, what we consider. God knows every single detail about you, about your needs, about your health, about your finances. Everything that you have, everything that concerns you, God knows all about it and cares and is interested and wants to help. You know, if you were to receive a phone call and the doctor had told you you had cancer, that would worry all of us. Any of us. That would concern us. But you know, God would have known that. God, if you do get a diagnosis of cancer, God knew that before you were ever even born. See, sometimes we think about, why, Lord, why did this happen to me? We don't really understand all those thoughts. I think about Brother Greg many a times. And when he first came here and how much he was a blessing to us and an encouragement to us, and he's gone all over the world preaching and a wonderful minister, and God has allowed this affliction to come on. I don't know. I've even prayed sometimes and thought about it. But we have to leave that with God. God knew that before Brother Greg was ever even born. We just have to leave that with God. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 57. We're going to come back here. I just want to read a verse of scripture that I've read in the past that I've had to lean on from time to time. In Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 1 says, "The righteous perish." Why? "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and the merciful men are taken away." None concerning that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. You know what we think sometimes? You know, some years ago, I was in ministers' meeting in Hagerstown for revival, or camp meeting. And if I remember the gentleman's name right, I believe it was a Brother Brown. He was a young man, a young pastor there. I don't know if he was in Jamaica or Honduras, one of the two. But I remember him sitting there, and he was discussing, we were discussing something. And I remember him saying something about that a certain type of food affected his body. I think it was like tomatoes or something like that. It seemed like that what it was. And Brother Alvin said, he goes, "The problem, brother," he goes, "you have some an affliction in your body you need to be healed from." Now, I don't know if they all knew what was going on at the time. It didn't seem like they did. But I heard it later on. He had had cancer and he died as a young pastor. And, you know, there have been other ministers that have passed away, just dropped dead. Brother, his odd, he was here from, him and his wife were here some years ago. Brother James Jennings, because he was the same name as the company. Brother James Jennings, a black gentleman. And I believe, my understanding, he was a very healthy, very active someone, and just went into eternity. Several of them. And we think, we ask, "Lord, why? Why would they do that? Why would that happen? Why would you allow that to a minister?" And many times it says here that many, he says, they always think, "Well, why did that young person, and maybe his 40s or even 30s or whatever, why did he die young?" And he says, "And many men lay it not to their heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." You know, sometimes God says, "You know what? There's some trouble is coming in your path, and I'm not going to submit you to that. I'm just going to take you home." But in our mind, we think sometimes, how sad. Lord, we think there's something wrong. Something happened there. What I'm trying to get us to understand that God's way is perfect. And the simplicity of the power of God. Sometimes we think it's large. Sometimes we think it's something has to happen huge. Something,
But God has his way to direct things. Back in 1 Corinthians where we were, 1:27, read 27 and 28 again. He says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. My thought for this morning here is looking at some of this I've been bringing to you. God has chosen the weak things of this world. And this is my thought for this morning. The weak things, the foolish things, the base things. And God has used these things to show himself to you and I strong. Like I say, a little bit different thought of what the Jesus or the thought was here with the story here about the Jews and the Greeks. But I think in this morning, God has used the small things, the weak things, the very base things to prove himself to you and I. To show himself strong to you and I. We're going to go over another verse. Again, we're going to come back here in 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, a lot of times I just quote this chapter or this verse, but I just want to read the whole one, the whole thing for you this morning. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Why? To show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. God says, I want to show myself strong to you. Not by some great significant thing, but sometimes through some weak thing that he uses. Some basic thing. We all the time look for God to move on something large. Do something big in a big number, in a big way. A great miracle, a great healing, things that just stand out. But how many times do we allow God through our daily life just introduce himself through some very small, insignificant things, so to speak? You know, God could do anything he wanted to. You know, sometimes I've even prayed, and I've told you this a little bit too. I prayed, and I haven't prayed this way in a long while because I feel the Lord has helped me with this thought. I said, Lord, why don't you do some things in the world to show people that you are powerful, to get them to come to you, to turn to you, the world in general, have something large, catastrophic, so to speak, do something to wake people up, to get them to be saved. And I remember praying that one time, and I'd prayed that many different times. I remember one time in particular praying it, and God just told this to me one time. He goes, I've done that. I've done it in the past, over in the Old Testament, time and time and time and time again. And people would turn to me for just a short period of time, and they go back into it. Look what happened when 9/11 hit. Remember what happened when 9/11 hit? They said the churches, people were going to church, the churches were filled, people were going to church. How long did that last? A month, two, maybe six at the tops, and it was over, and we went right back into the wickedness that they were in. It doesn't change. But for you and I that love God, you and I, it says here, for the Lord runs to and fro through the whole earth, looking to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. I've said this many times in my preaching. When's the last time? When's the last time in your private prayer? When's the last time you've got down to the Lord and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me to say. I'm not talking about some great significant thing, but in a very small way. Lord, reveal yourself today. And you know, I believe if you're sincere, if you're really honest, Lord, I want to see you. Moses one time, of all the greatest things, Moses said, Lord, I want to see you. Now, I know we're not going to say that. And God told him, he said, Moses, you can't see me and live. He goes, but I'll do this. I'll pass by and you'll see my glory on my backside. When is the last time? And I encourage you today. I encourage you this week, one day this week, if you can remember, one day in your private prayers, Lord, show me something today. And I don't know what. I don't have any idea what. But God, in his small ways, in his foolish ways, in his weak ways, in his base ways, he can reveal himself to you and I in something very small,
very, very minor, that is so weak in one sense, but it blesses our heart and our mind that He is God. That He is a mighty, mighty God. God desires to prove Himself, to show Himself amazing to you and I, but we have to look for it. We just can't be going through life, well, whatever, Lord, if you want it to be real. No, Lord, I want you to be present in my life. I want you to show me something in life. You know, Jesus said one time, he told the disciples, they asked Him, they said, who's the greatest among us? And you know what Jesus said? He pulled a little child to Him, and He sat a little child on His lap. He says, except you become as a little child. Children are so innocent. And they have one of these that are pretty good. Have imagination. My youngest grandson's birthday is today. He'll be 4. Kim, his mom, doesn't have any idea where he picked it up. So you ask him, how old are you going to be? 30. I have no idea where he come up with 30. But the imagination. Their imagination, their trust. And Jesus says, except you become a little child. And one thing a little child does is depends on someone and trusts their parents, mostly it's their mom and dad. They trust them that they can do anything they need. Well, God desires us as adults to trust in God in such a way. Lord, whatever you would have, show yourself. In verse 28, God said He uses the base things of this world and the things which are despised. Sometimes we think we're wise. Sometimes we need to be as a fool. Lord, the foolish things, the weak things, the base things. Lord, can You show Yourself to me? Can You reveal Yourself in a greater, mighty way that You are that great God? You know, Jesus and the disciples were walking one time. And you know the story of the man that was sitting there begging. He was blind and he was begging. And the disciples asked Jesus a question, who sinned, this man or his parents? And He said, neither, but that the glory of God can be revealed. This man that was born blind had no idea, seems like from the rest of the story, had no idea, never heard of Jesus Christ, didn't know Jesus Christ, didn't know anything about Him. So understand that thought, okay? It doesn't seem like that he had heard about Christ. But it says like he didn't know anything about Him. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus could have walked up to this man and just touched him and said, be healed, and his eyes would open immediately. And you know what? The crowd would have been amazed. They'd have looked at him in astonishment. Look at what this man did. He could have walked up on him, put his hand on his shoulder, lifted his hand and prayed to God and did some wonderful prayer. Man's eyes could have been opened. That's not what God did. That's not what Jesus did. He did the weak things of this world. The base things. He went over and he spit on the ground. And he took his fingers and he made a little mud pie and he stuck it on that eye. And he spit on the ground, he took his fingers and made another mud pie and stuck it on that eye. And he said, go down and wash. This man didn't know Jesus, I don't believe. But I guess if I was blind, Brother Danny said some things the last couple weeks, his eyes, and our eyes are very, very, very valuable to us. I imagine if this man was blind, I don't think he'd have cared what you'd have told him to do, he'd have tried it. He went down and he washed. And his eyes were made whole. He could see. Was it because of the mud pies? Was it because of the spit? Was it because of the washing of the water? No, it was the obedience of God through the base things of this world. What do? I want something great to happen. Lord, I want You to work in my life to be a blessing. God uses weak instruments. God said He uses man to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the weakest things He could have ever done. To depend on a man or a woman to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But He uses weak instruments. Moses had a rod, had a stick, basically. And God used that stick, that rod that Moses had, and he told Moses, he says, I want you to strike the rock. And water flowed from the rock. I think he had him speak to the rock. He didn't have him strike the rock. But one time he had the rod. He said he took the rod. Well, he did strike the rock with the rod, and the water flowed out of there. But he took the rod, and he laid the rod down, and the rod became a serpent. He took Samson one time, and Samson took the jawbone of an animal and killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of an animal. Didn't have a sword, didn't have a machine gun, didn't have any, was a jawbone of an animal. He took little David that was not a warrior. And little David went down and he got 5 smooth stones. And he went out to fight against a great warrior named Goliath. A mighty man, 2 or 3 times the size of David. And 1 little tiny stone that went embedded into the forehead of Goliath and killed the giant. God could have just brought lightning down and struck him dead. But he didn't. He uses the weak things. God uses men and women that are willing to be obedient and faithful. And he uses the weak things. He told Elijah one time there was a famine of no rain. Or Elijah told his servant one time. Elijah was praying. He told his servant, he said, go down, look out, see if you see any rain coming. Man goes down, looks, he doesn't see a thing. The skies are crystal clear. He goes back, he says, I don't see nothing, Elijah. Go again. And he went again, and he went again. He went 6 times. And he came back the 6th time. He says, I see nothing. He goes, go again. He went the 7th time. I was sitting on my porch this morning as I was studying my message. And there's a lot of clouds out today, not completely overcast. But my heart was touched as I looked out over those clouds and I found in the day when you leave, you think about it, if there's still clouds out there. You look out there, there was 1 cloud way, way off. It was just a tiny, small cloud. And that servant came back to Elijah. He says, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. He says, go tell the king. To get his chariots ready for rain's coming. If I'd have looked out and seen that 1 tiny little cloud and no other clouds would have been in the sky, nothing. You know, we've had a lot of rain this past week. I mean, them clouds, they came in black. And wind and rain and just, it's been heavy clouds everywhere, completely overshadowed everything. But if I'd have walked out and I'd seen that 1 tiny cloud, my thumb could have covered that cloud. That's how small it was. And I had the faith, it's going to rain. It's going to pour down rain because of that 1 cloud. Most people would think you're crazy. But God uses the weak things, the base things, the foolish things to bless us. To bless our soul. Because we're looking for, Lord, what do you have for me? I'm going to show you something small. Brother Danny's testified many a times. He was out here one time, and he was cutting some grass. And I know exactly what he's talking about. I've done the same thing. And the head of that weed whacker, that head come off, and there's a screw inside there. And if you ain't got that screw, you're done. He said he looked all over the place, couldn't find the screw. He had everything else, all the other parts, but couldn't find that screw. And he took a minute to pray and ask God. You know, I think sometimes God... You ever seen anybody do the joke, you know, people are looking for something, they'll kind of hide it, they'll stand in front of it. Mm-hmm. You know, well, don't let them see it. You know, especially if it's a surprise party or something, we don't want to hide this. I believe God just went up and put his hand over top of that thing, let him walk around a little bit. Brother Danny looked to the Lord and asked. God removed his hand. He said he looked down and found it. He's testified about that many a times. How many times do we testify about how God blesses us for the foolish things
in our life. See, in one sense, they're not foolish to God, because if we can look at the small things, the foolish things, the weak things, the base things, if we can look at them and recognize it was God. Well, let me rephrase that. If we don't recognize it's God, why is God going to come and show you anything large? Why is God going to reveal anything large to you? I want to see if you're looking for me. I want to see if you're looking and I'm looking in your life. What small thing in your life? Lord, this it doesn't really matter which way it goes, but Lord, I'd like you to reveal yourself to me. Trusting in God.
Jesus took a young boy's lunch, just 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Fed over 5,000 men besides women and children. We have a list up here that we're going to feed the homeless tomorrow night. And there's 4 or 5 items on there. People make main dish, a salad, a dessert, whatever it is in there. Some's a vegetable, a salad, main dish. And we go there, we're only feeding 16 to 20 people. 16 to 20 people. And many times, we run out. Jesus fed 5,000 people with just a small boy's lunch. And had much left over than what they ever began to start with. I'm talking about we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God that desires to show himself faithful to the people that truly do love him. How many times do we look for him? And the Lord, I'm nothing. I'm weak. I'm just a servant. Lord, will you reveal yourself to me in the small ways of life? Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above." I can't even comprehend that. "All that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." That God can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to what faith we have. Lord, what do I have? Lord, may I call upon you and ask you. How many times in our lives have we had, in a situation, sometimes there have been some large events, our back is against the wall. I don't know what to do about the situation. I don't know who to ask. I don't know how to turn. And we sometimes I believe God puts us in those conditions. And just like I mentioned about my job a while back, sometimes God may put us in those conditions to see if we'll fall on our face to God. Lord, I need you. And God has opened up avenues that we have never even imagined it would open up. Time and time and time again. And he will do that in the rest of our lives if we have faith in him. Yeah, you know, there are some people in the world, they only trust the wisest of wise men. Unless they have degrees. I looked up. Actually, it was kind of hard to find it. I'm not really good at searching Google. But I looked up some things. I'm going to mention a few men here. Most of you probably know about them. Albert Edison. One of the most influential scientists of all times. Lived 1879 to 1955. Most people knew him. Isaac Newton. Born 1643 to 1727. Mathematician, physicist, astronomer, theologian. Charles Darwin, 1809 to 1882. Most of these men are in history. English, geology, biologist. Best known for his theory of evolution. And our world has adopted that teaching down through time. This last one was interesting. I've never heard of him. Maybe you have. I've never heard of him. It's just something that looking through different ones. William James Sidis, born 1898, died 1944. He was remembered as the smartest man who had ever lived. His IQ score was 250 to 300. Spoke over 20 languages, with Latin, France, Hebrew, German, Russian, Turkish, Greek, and American. His profession was a mathematician, inventor, and historian. He went to Harvard University by the age of 11 years old. And that's what people look at, the wise men of the world. As looking up some history, it said Solomon was one of the wisest men who ever lived. I was thankful that they did recognize that. But of being Solomon, being the wisest man that ever lived, and the very first thing that he did, it astonished people. As a young person becoming king of Israel, it astonished him when two women brought a case to Solomon, and they said that both women had children, and the one, you know the story, the one woman had rolled over on her child in the middle of the night, and it had died. When she woke and found the child, she took her baby and switched it with the other lady and kept it. But when the lady woke and seen her child was dead, she recognized it wasn't hers, and she knew that the woman had taken her child. They brought the case of Solomon. One of the very first things he ever had to make a call on. What's he going to do? What's this young man going to do? What kind of wisdom is he going to have? And he said, bring the live child up here. Put him on the table. Cut him in half. Give one half to that lady and one half to that woman. Well, the true mother, she said, no, spare the child. She goes, just go ahead and give it. I'd rather the child live and be with hers. The other woman said, go ahead and kill it. Through wisdom, Solomon knew that that was the true mother's heart, and he gave it. It said, the Bible says his wisdom went everywhere with that. But unfortunately, the wisdom that he had and the greatness that he had to build the temple, all those things, in the end of his days, he lost his relationship with God. People will look at the wisdom of men. Many people want to hear those that may have a doctorate degree. A degree that is the highest degree that you can earn in an academic field or profession. But God says, my wisdom is so simple. My wisdom is so foolish in a sense, so base, that it will confound the wisdom of the mighty. But do we look for God's wisdom? Luke 1 and 37 says, For with God nothing shall be impossible. You know, those of us had children, you know, it can take very small things to entertain them. I remember one time when Gina was very young. How old she was, very young. We were going somewhere. And me and Linda and I think Gina, I don't know if there's anybody else, we were sitting in the back of Dad's truck. Dad and Mom were going somewhere, maybe down to Carolinas. Of course, he had a big cat, and we were back there traveling. I don't remember how I used to do it, but I had something in my hands. I had some type of a toy or whatever, and I'd have it, I'd close it, and try to get her to choose which hand it was in, and somehow I'd redirect her attention over here, and when I did that, I'd throw the other one in the back of the truck or towards the front of the truck. I hold my hands out, and she'd pick one out, and there's nothing in one of them. She said, well, where did it go? I said, well, it flew up to the front of the truck there. And she'd go up there, and there it was laid. It would astonish her. It was just fun, having fun with children. You know, we're the same thing. God says, I can just do some small things that will astonish you that I am God. But you have to look for it. For with God, nothing is impossible. Do you have simple faith? Do you have childlike faith? Or do you try to reason things out and do things your way and figure out the situation? You know, the wisdom of men will tell you. That song Sister Ann sings, I always enjoy that part of that verse. It says, when the wisest of men have spoken, I think maybe it says all hope is kind of, what else do I do?
All the wise men said, this is the scenario of the situation. But God. Jesus was walking and teaching the crowd one day on the shores. And he went up to Simon. And Simon, he says, got on Simon's boat. He goes, go out so I can speak to the people in a better way. They can hear me. And Simon took the boat and he went out there and he spoke to the people. When he got done speaking to the people, Jesus told Simon, he goes, go out into the deep and put your nets down. And Simon said to him, he says, Lord, he says, we've fished all night long. They were not novice. They were professional. This was their life, fishermen. He says, we've fished all night long. But Peter said to him, but nevertheless, Lord, because you've said it, I'm going to do it. And the Bible says that they went out there and they dropped their nets and their nets were filled with the fish. No much, it almost began to sink the ships. Other ships had to come in and load the fish up on them. You know what the wisdom of men would have said? Well, the tide just changed. The current changed. There must have been a large fish out there that was chasing a school and brought them up into them nets at that very time. No, what it was the power of a mighty God. To where during that time, the night before, God pushed all the fish away. He should go away. Simon and the rest of the disciples, you're not going to catch a minnow out here tonight. Because God called it. Because he knew that Christ was going to be there the next morning and show himself mighty over the base things of this life. Next morning, Jesus says, go out there and drop your nets. Your brother Danny could have said, you know, I've looked everywhere. Lord, I asked you to help me to find that tool. Well, I've looked. I'm not going to look anymore and go home. But he missed a blessing. How many times are we may stop? You know, I've heard many, many, many times. I remember one minister was here one time. And some of you remember the story. I remember he was there. Him and his wife were young. And I think they had misplaced $20. They had misplaced $20 and they couldn't find it. And they looked everywhere. They looked all over the house. They couldn't find the $20. And he says, that was back in the time when we couldn't afford to lose $20. And he says, they prayed and they asked the Lord, Lord, help us to find that money. He says, she looked in her pocketbook one more time and there was the $20 laying right there. I can remember some of the other stories of some of the saints. Lord, help me find it. There it is. You see, we want God to do the big things. But Lord, reveal yourself through the weak things, the foolish things, the base things that we think of may be foolish. I ask you this week if you would. And I'm not saying anything particular. But go and ask God, Lord, show yourself to me this week. Do something. And you know what? It will be a time, if God does that for you, it will be a time where you will not expect it. You won't be thinking, well, God's going to do something for you. God will get you busy somewhere doing something, and God will just reveal himself in some way or whatever way. But recognize, Lord, I need you to reveal yourself. The title of my thought for this morning was The Simplicity of the Power of God. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you.
Let's open our psalm book and turn to page 152. 152.
Oh,
know, the first time the Lord ever spoke to your heart, it changed your life. This mighty God that would come down and talk to me. What a mighty God he is. Appreciate seeing each one in service today. As I mentioned, we do Feed the Homeless tomorrow, so be much in prayer for that. God will be with us. Our revival, just a couple weeks out, 2 weeks out at the most, so remember that in a special way. Anything we need to mention before we prepare to dismiss?
I was going to ask if we could sing a happy birthday to Brother David. His birthday was yesterday.
Brother David's birthday was yesterday. How old are you, Brother David?
69.
Happy birthday.